Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This week on Dr. Drew After Dark.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, Dr. Drew. How much blood was in your cum?
I've got an irritation in my BAC, ball ass connector.
Which would be the taint, right?
How do you feel about Santa?
When they ask a question, you gotta tell them.
I like that. I'm anti-Santa. Yeah.
Welcome to Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Dr. After Dark. I appreciate you all being here. Appreciate those voice messages at 818-253-1693 and the emails at drdrewafterdark@gmail.com. Support the people that support us. Rational Revolution, everybody. I think the Rational Revolution is upon us. Consistent with that, my guest today, Rob Eiler. Rob, how you doing, buddy?
Good, how
Speaking of the Rational Revolution.
What is a Rational Revolution?
Something that Christina and I used to talk about. I know that you've had Christina and Tom on your show, and I'll talk about your show in just a second. But she used to come on this show, and we would complain about things, and she'd go, it's just stupid. It's rationality is coming. There's going to be a rational revolution. Can you show Rob the mugs, the rational revolution mugs? And people started sending in all this sort of Soviet style iconography about the revolution. It was fantastic. The salad days. And I still drink. There's a cup. Yeah. There it is. Look at that. Oh, can you enlarge it? Can you make it big? There you are. Look at the picture. Yeah. Look at the picture of her and then me with the sort of the Lenin pose. and she looks like some sort of Mata Hari rising up off the star rising over her head.
That's great. It's
fantastic. So those mugs are still available, are they not? Yeah, the rational. I suggest everyone participate in the rational revolution. You know, as it pertains to, I didn't know I was going to talk about this, but here we are.
Let's go.
And let me just say, check out Not Today, Pal. No. Please go now, everybody. Jamie Lynn Sigler, Rob Eiler, YMH Studios YouTube channel, and everywhere you get your podcasts, go see Not Today, Pal. And I love, by the way, the NTP, that the sort of subway signs.
Yeah.
I dig that.
Yeah.
That's just a nice way to brand this thing. But I realized that I was talking to a guy on a stream show yesterday, and he brought up a great point. He goes, we live in a time when people are irrationally certain, irrational certainty. And irrational certainty exists on both ends. You know, and we happen to be talking about vaccines or something, and he goes, there's people that are irrationally certain that they're only good, and there are people that are irrationally certain that they're only bad. And the reality is, we don't have all the data. There should be uncertainty. Now, you can go kind of drift to one side or the other, but you're uncertain about it. You have a certain amount of sort of humility about all this. But there's a weird certainty in everything today that drives me fucking crazy, frankly.
Well, because they put this thing where if you are uncertain, it means you're this. Like, if you're uncertain about the vaccine, it means you love Trump. And then people are like, whoa, I don't love Trump. So then you have to, like, I went back to New York, 9 months into COVID or whatever. And all these people, everyone's like, yeah, you know, got vaccinated. And then as soon as fucking people were at dinner, they have three or four drinks, they grab me, they go, I didn't fucking get vaccinated.
Right.
People were scared to talk about it. So then everyone was vaccinated.
Still scared.
Yeah.
Still scared. Oh, and people are starting to admit to me now that they have fake cards too. That was not admitted to at all.
Yeah.
I thought that was a rare thing. I'm hearing a lot about that now.
Yeah.
Which is wild. I mean.
And there were doctors giving them out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was, it was a weird time. It's still weird. That's what drives me. Let's get over it, everybody. Let's just start talking about what might be, what good. Instead of, I have a guy I'm in an email exchange with. He just fights with me all the time. He's a good scientist. And I just keep thinking he's irrationally certain about stuff. And it's actually a good procedure for me because it makes me think things through and try to clarify my thoughts and stuff. So my uncertainty can go one way or the other. Yeah. But I, you know, uncertainty, skepticism, these are the fundamentals of scientific thought. And scientists left that behind. Like, this is science. And we know the answer. Do you ever see the South Park on this?
I saw one of them. There were two, right?
I just remember the hamsters take over the world or something.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they lose religion. They are pure scientists, but when they end up just worshiping science, and then when they cuss, they go, "Science, damn you!"
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, we are worshiping creatures. We are.
And then it got to the point where, like, when Joe Rogan was doing all the stuff he was doing, then there would
be... Where he got treatment, you mean? Or were you just talking about stuff?
And there were people like Sam Harris who were mad at him for talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, you shouldn't
people
be talking about
People are mad at me for
this.
Talking about it. They're mad at me for interviewing people that have alternative points of view. You shouldn't... You can't platform them. Don't platform... What does that... So you get to decide what the public hears, really? That you have that kind of certainty and hubris? My thing is, look, I worked in a psychiatric hospital for 35 years. Everybody gets paranoid, and paranoid people get very paranoid if you withhold information, if you hide things. It's immediately when people fill in with all kinds of stupid shit ideas.
Yeah.
That's when they just, they go nutty, as opposed to constant fresh air and sunlight. And they eventually get to the truth. It may take some time. And by the way, these people that have been silenced, were you canceled at all during the whole thing?
I don't exist anywhere, so they can't cancel me. You know what I mean? I don't. I'm not on social media. I don't.
Right.
What are they gonna do? Come to my house? Like they won't. They don't do that. You know. But I'm saying people in person. Don't cancel you. People on the internet cancel you, and then they'll go to extremes.
Right.
But like in person, when you're talking to people, they never. Like nobody ever lost their mind about anything I've ever said in person. Yes. It's always.
I still am around people that I feel their stomach tightening.
When topics
come up, they're like,
yeah.
You know, mass masking doesn't appear to work. If you want to wear an N95, immediately. No, I'm like, if you want to wear an N95, wear it properly. You could probably do something with that. That's good.
But yeah.
You can't mask between bites and expect anything to be accomplished.
Yeah.
So, and you can't also wear a surgical mask with a big loops here and a nose guard.
Yeah, and then the mask is dirty. Like, you could tell the mask is, like, you know, 3 months old, and there's, like, holes. I mean, you see some crazy shit.
Corolla was telling me the other day that he was trying to buy tickets at a ticket booth outside, and it was during the crazier period. And the woman goes, we're going to have a problem here. I can't talk to you unless you get a mask on. And he's like, we're outside. There's a giant – I'm outside.
Yeah.
Need a mask. He looked down, there was some ground into the dirt. He put it on, put on the mask. It was right off the street that a car had run over. Fantastic.
You know what's funny you say about like paranoid people?
Get more paranoid.
You know, we're like part of, I remember like the first window to my addiction opening was when, so, you know, my grandfather would be in the bar all day and everybody would be smoking. And I always wanted to try a cigarette. And my mom, because I had asthma, my mom told me, if you ever try a cigarette, you'll die. So I remember being, you know, whatever I was, 11, 12. And I remember the first time where I was like, I'm going to risk my life. Like, I'm going to probably die right now. Like, my friends are smoking cigarettes, like Marlboro Reds. And I took a pull of a cigarette. I got lightheaded and I didn't die. And I was like, instantly, it was like, what else are they lying about? And it was like, right. Let's go. Like, make the calls. Like,
that is why you don't lie to your kids.
Yes.
Interesting.
How do you feel about Santa?
You can tell them fibs and stories, but when they ask a question, you gotta tell them.
I like that. I'm anti-Santa.
You can also not answer questions. You can go.
That's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah, it's totally appropriate.
I don't know. I've heard about Santa, but I don't know. I've never seen him.
Right, or you can go. Hey, I don't look. I'm not gonna tolerate any drug use. Just so you know, I'll be big consequences if you are caught doing drugs, whatever. Did you do drugs when you were a kid? If you go, well, son, yes, you have to talk about it because you're in recovery. That's a different thing.
Yeah.
If somebody was just sort of using during their adolescence, go, yeah, man, at 13, I got wasted. I was drinking. I smashed a car up. And then I was smoking weed for 3 months. I failed out of school. He goes, that's why I don't want that to happen to you. You've just given that kid a license to start where you left off. No matter how bad the consequences, they consider hypocrisy that you were able to do that and I wasn't. So what you say is, hey, look, I'm just telling you what I'm expecting of you. What I did or didn't do is someday I will tell you, but not now. It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what I'm expecting from you. That's it, period. End of conversation. Totally different. And then they'll go, oh, that means you, but you, you, but that. Not discussing it. We're talking about you.
Yeah, fuck Santa. I'm in.
So how do you like doing the show?
Great.
Yeah, what's coming up?
So great. I
anything,
love it.
Anything of interest or anything? Does Jamie Lynn move out here?
Jamie Lynn lived out here before. So I came to visit Jamie for her birthday out here. And Tom and Christina were like, come out on our boat and hang out. And then they were like, we want you to do a show here.
Oh, that's great.
And I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, if I can like I, Austin.
Can I hang in this boat every day? Can right? I come live in your guest house?
I was like, if as long as I like Austin. So I stayed here for like a couple of weeks and I was like, yeah, sure, I could do this. Like, you know, so I just like, I came here and now I love New York. I love New York City. Everywhere else is kind of the same.
But you guys were in L.A., right?
Well, I was in L.A. for, like, right before COVID. I happened to go to L.A.
But weren't you guys doing your pod there?
Yeah.
Did you come in and out for that?
No, so I went to L.A. before COVID, and it was like, oh, let's see what happens here. And then COVID hit, and it was like, oh, now, you know, now you're stuck.
California, what a disaster.
Oh, my God, that place, that place sucks.
It's hard to imagine why this country would contemplate putting the governor that destroyed a state in the White House. Why they would even think about that?
Well, because if you don't like him, it means you like Trump. Oh, you know what I mean? They'll just get you with shit like that. And then you go, oh, okay. And then all of a sudden, everyone's quiet at dinner. Everyone's like, well, I don't want them to think I like Trump. I don't want them to think I'm not vaccinated. I don't want... And you're like, yo, you got to be... Because the people get conditioned at work. It's like, oh, I can't talk about it at work. So they're like, oh, if I can't talk about it at dinner, like, whatever, I'm already...
Oh, my God, where do I live? I live in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
I thought this country was different.
Yeah. Luckily, we're in this industry where it's like the crazier you are, the more people want to listen to you.
Yes.
So like we're like at work, that's not the case. You know? Like they want to sit next to the person who's like not crazy.
Right.
Which sounds nuts here, you know?
Right. You guys are laughing. How dare you? He's right, though.
Yeah.
So your addiction span, it's interesting to me how 11, 12 is a common entry age for people that are going to develop severe addiction. I don't know why it is. It's often, I used to think it was because those were usually traumatized kids and they were looking for solutions to how they were feeling.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily that. It's you get a big, if you have a big genetic burden for addiction, you tend to enter around age 12 also. It seems so young. Seventh grade, eighth grade.
It seems
odd that that's when kids would get going with it.
But the weird thing is it's also like that's kind of when it's like around, you know what I mean? Like I guess people going into high school.
First time it comes around, that's
true.
Or
like, I guess, no, that's junior high. But like, you know, when I'm nine, I'm not like, there's no people doing shit where you're like, hey, what's that? What are they? It's like, oh, they're playing some, you know, with Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden you're 11, 12 and you're like, okay, this kid who's 14 is smoking or like this. And then you're like, okay, like it kind of.
Did you get hooked on cigarettes too, by the way?
Oh, everything. Yeah.
Are you still on cigarettes? We have a solution here. Apparently, the guys are intent that I should take one of these. We discussed it in one of our recent shows, and I was like, I'm in favor of nicotine replacement. They're like, really? Take one.
I haven't had a cigarette in 10 years. I'm not.
You're off nicotine entirely.
Completely. Yeah.
Which is interesting because usually, if you take nicotine before the age of 15, if you get hooked on it, did you get hooked before 15?
Oh, I was. Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost impossible to get off it completely. Yeah. It's good for you.
Well, I'm special, Dr. Drew.
Yeah, you are special. Indeed, you are.
You know, my grandfather. So my grandfather was full blown alcoholic at the bar every day. When my grandmother passed away, he was like, "I'm done drinking." And we're like, "Yeah, sure. We'll see how long this lasts." Never picked up a drink again. And then cigarettes. One day he said, "I'm done with cigarettes." Never fucking picked up a cigarette again.
How old was he when that all went down?
When my grandmother passed away, I'm just totally guessing. I don't know. In this late 50s or 60s, but then cigarettes was later.
Yeah. So that is, there's something called natural recovery, they call that, which people you really only see with alcohol, right? Because other drugs, you don't see people, sometimes cocaine, sometimes, but when people do that with cocaine, I always wonder if they're really drug addicts, because you can get going with cocaine a lot and not really be a drug addict. If you're on heroin, you're a drug addict. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like, hope it's a drug addict, benzo drug addict. But alcohol occasionally, you know, this is a genetic spectrum, right? And so there's different flavors of this illness. I've never seen anybody say with a North American Indian background, stop alcohol, ever.
Right.
That's a certain thing. I've never seen it with an Irish background. Is that you? Oh, yeah. Well, I've seen it. I've heard
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, sorry. My grandpa's German. My,
I was going to say, yeah, where yeah, I've yeah. seen it is German and Czech and Polish.
Yeah, he's Czech.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
where all of a sudden, I mean, and they're pretty hardcore alcoholics, too. I'm like, I was, my wife's father was that, and I was shocked. He just like, he was drinking a fifth a day, no problem. Just And then just, he was like, she confronted him. He went, okay, I'm stopping. And he stopped. I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. And I was like, wow. And he did not become a rageaholic, which I was expecting. Oh, here we go. Now something's coming. It's some
the rage
genetic...
went away for my grandpa.
Yeah. That's for him too. He became away. Less of an asshole. That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where he'd be like, all right, I'm leaving, you know, instead of like the beef, you know? Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? So that's how these genetic elements. So you had Irish and Czech. So you got a double whammy.
See, I don't think you can, I don't know, but I don't think you can outgrow the addict brain, but I think you can outgrow addictions. Like, I feel like for me, alcohol now, I'm like disgusted by alcohol. Like, we're like Percocet. If you're like Percocets, it's a different fucking story. But I walk into a hotel and I see like alcohol there and I'm like, wow, I'm so grateful that some people see this and it triggers them. Where for me, I see it and I look at alcohol the same way I look at like junk food I don't eat anymore. Where I'm like, oh, consuming all that. Ugh.
However, you would quickly get over that hump if you needed to.
Right.
If it was all you had and you just went into full relapse mode. I have dealt with this with opiate addicts before where they're like, And they really are shocked when it gets going. They're surprised. But it does. It just goes.
Yeah.
Once they get over that.
See, so I was sober for like 5 years, never had a drink. And I went to a dinner where, like, back in New York, first time, I remember we're on a rooftop and everybody's excited and everybody's ordering drinks. I'm like, oh, club soda. And I go to take a big sip and
there's
it was
vodka,
club soda.
Yeah.
Which, I spit it out. I'm like, I'm fine. But it changed the whole dinner. All of a sudden, everybody's like, oh my God, thinking like, I'm going to fall off the wagon now and all this stuff. And I'm like, no.
Even the drop dead alcoholics don't really do that. It's not like a cartoon where the hair goes.
So I'm in my head. I'm fine. But everybody was like freaking out, like full freak out.
That's a bunch of people that don't understand addiction.
Though. Right. So then now for like a month after that, I'm disturbed every night laying in bed where I'm like, I'm not who they think. I don't think this thing has this power over me.
Not like that.
So what I did was I called my best friend and I said, we're going to go to dinner and I'm going to have 3 or 4 sips of a glass of wine. And I want to see if I turn into fucking a vampire. You know what I mean? I want to see what happens. I had 3 sips. I was like, ugh, I don't want this. Wait, and that was 5 years ago. I'm just.
It's good. I wouldn't recommend that.
Yeah, yeah, no, for sure. I wouldn't do it with Percocets.
But right.
Yeah.
And it's not like, oh, how do you do that? I get it. It's in fact, when people get into trouble with that, it's the flirting that gets them into trouble, not the using. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, life.
Not the life even so much as like, oh, I can control this now. Oh, maybe I can do more, you know, a little more. Oh, I'm controlling it. Look at this.
Yeah,
and then kaboom,
no,
there it goes.
Yeah. I still have dreams up until last week where like I have a dream, I'm drinking a beer and I wake up and it's fucking, you know, at least 30 minutes where I'm just not normal.
Oh, that's interesting.
Where I'm like, fuck. And I'm like, yo, it was a dream. Like you have to tell your body to like,
also,
relax.
There's a lot of guilt and shame and weirdness that goes with it too. Are you still going to meetings or?
No, I haven't. I never did.
You never did?
I went to see a specialist for 2 years after
cognitive behavioral therapy,
CBT. I don't know. I don't know if you call it, but it was to get off of Xanax. It was to get off of Percocet. It was to like, you know,
yeah.
And just, but you know what it was too.
That's amazing. That's well done. But then against that's probably that Czech thing. That's probably that genetics.
But also, it's like I feel like just with the way I grew up, and like growing up, and all of a sudden getting these tools to be like, oh, okay, I can do this. Like I can work out, I can meditate, I can talk about stuff. Like, oh my God, you know, it was like I could talk about things instead, like all this stuff. And it just, yeah, I don't know.
It's all important. It's all how you don't pick things up. But if you do pick something up, it would be on. You have to know that.
Yeah, yeah,
You have to know that.
See, and I feel that with, like, I don't feel that way with alcohol and cigarettes, but like Percocets in my head. I would never.
Cigarettes really sneak up on people.
Oh,
they,
for sure.
They chip a little bit, and then all of a sudden it goes on.
Yeah, I wouldn't even. You were trying to get me to fucking pack a Zin. What's this guy?
No, those guys are trying to get me to pack a Zin.
Do it.
A Zen. Jesus.
Zen pack
whenever
Zen.
They are. I've done those snooze packs before, and I get like sick. But I'll do anything for the show, gentlemen. If we need to do one, we'll just tease it for now. See, oh, Chad's leaning in. Like, really? Will you?
Here's what I think is insane: how like there are people, and again, I don't want to judge. I'm just saying from my brain. When I see people who are sober, but they drink like 5 energy drinks a day, in my head, I like, again, I'm not judging on this. I just go, if that was me, if I take a sip, I used to be able to do cocaine for days. If I drink half a coffee, I'm a wreck. Like a wreck. Like something about caffeine.
Interesting.
Really fucks me up.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like so. To where for, you know, I can't sleep for 30 hours, like off the tiniest bit. It's crazy.
That's interesting. Yeah. I, on the other hand, I'm a hyper metabolizer. I will get like some stimulation for about 7 minutes, 4 minutes, and then gone completely. Completely.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? And we know there's different metabolism rates of this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So before we go to calls, tell them again what the show's about, what they're going to hear, and why
Not
they should
today,
go.
Pal. I mean, it's, you know, it's me, Jamie, who's one of my best friends in the world. Obviously, we were on Sopranos together. We've been friends for 25 years, and we just bullshit. We talk to these guys in the booth. We have fun with them. There's people write in, and we do something called sweet and sour because she's very sweet and I'm not so sweet. So we give our opinions on stuff, and usually she takes the sweet side and I take the sour
different
side.
Different from your old, because the old one used to bring people in and stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. So we did that with our friend Cass.
I think
Cass.
I was on one of your first podcasts.
You might have been our first guest.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you were. I think you were. I think you were our first guest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we that was just nothing. Yeah, we had no format. We just come.
Yeah, but there was chemistry between you two. I didn't know it was your first show. I couldn't tell that it was first show.
Yeah, and our friend Kasim, who the three of us, it just, I really, you know, I loved the shit we would end up talking about.
Yeah.
It was great.
Interesting. Well, you'll love it. So again, it is Not Today, Pal. Check it out. YMH. You'll find it. Lynn, what's going on?
Hi. Hey. Calling you regarding my husband's penis problem.
Yes. Okay, let's go.
For about 4 years, he has been having some pain while ejaculating. He says it feels like it's stuck at the base sometimes. When he's finished, he has to strain to pee. Mm. It will temporarily sting and then go away. Mm-hmm. He recently just passed like a jelly blood clot that like women would get.
From his penis, through his penis.
He just now is agreeing to go to the doctor.
Hold on. A blood clot through his penis?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Rob's having trouble listening, but go ahead. What's the matter, Rob?
I don't like hearing stuff like that because then I'm like, am I going to pass a jelly fucking thing? You know what I mean? I'm like, is there a jelly coming out of my dick?
I'll talk about it in a minute. And this has been going on for a few years, right?
Yes.
Has it been treated in any way?
I just recently have been able to get him to go to the doctor when he passed the blood clot.
Okay.
And they ran a test just to make sure he didn't have an infection. He didn't. Mm-hmm. And then they just gave him a strainer and said, it'll pass. It's probably just a stone.
Oh, my goodness.
And they weren't really out.
That was a physician did that? Was that was a board certified doctor did that?
We don't have insurance and we don't have primary care for him. So we just went to a walk-in.
Oh boy. All right. Well, here is the deal. That is inadequate. That is not okay. that is completely, completely wrong. So here's the full spectrum of what's going on here. Yes, it could be a kidney stone, but why is it limited to his sort of lower urogenital tract? Kidney stones hurt up in the kidney, up above. They get caught in the ureters. Mm-hmm. They cause pain. They cause the whole urine to turn red. They don't cause you to ejaculate blood. So there's clearly something else going on. Yes, kidney stone could be a part of it, but to say you have a kidney stone and not get an ultrasound to be sure your kidneys aren't obstructed and failing, that is bordering on malpractice, in my humble opinion. Then the ejaculating of blood, usually it is not a big deal.
Well, a little correction. He didn't ejaculate the blood. He peed out the blood clot, but the ejaculating part is where it's painful.
Has he ever ejaculated blood?
No.
Ah, okay.
Thank God.
Well, I have.
Jeez.
I'll share with you. Because I had prostate cancer and I had to get prostate biopsies, and the prostates were producing the fluid, And if you have a biopsy, everything bleeds in there. And so what gets collected is the blood down in the seminal vesicles, and then you will ejaculate blood.
This is fun.
Your partners will love that. Mm. They dig that. No, they won't.
Save that load for me.
It's no longer white, everybody. It's red. The blood in itself can cause a lot of irritation, like what he's describing. So everything he's describing could just be from blood. The question is, where is the blood coming from? And the first place to look, since it's not in the ejaculate, you have to look in the bladder and you have to look in the kidneys. Kidneys that are producing blood can have all kinds of different illnesses. Something called glomerulonephritis commonly has sort of dark urine associated with it. Bladder cancers, bladder tumors, bladder vascular growths can bleed. And these things have to be checked out. And the fact that they didn't send him to a urologist to sort of go through the process a little bit is shocking to me, just shocking. So kidney stones may or may not be part of the issue, but the fact that he's having clots and the fact that it's always causing irritation means that there's always something going on there. And where is that blood coming from? And it could be from the prostate too. You could have prostate infections sometimes that cause blood, you know, various kinds of, and if you don't treat that, you can get chronic prostates and prostate stones. So there's a million different things that could be going on here. All of which are kind of need to be, you can get up with chronic problems, some of them serious, some of them not so serious, but kind of needs to be worked up. He's got to see a urologist.
I think the walk-in doctor was right. I think he's fine.
And Rob Eiler says do nothing.
Yeah, I'm going with fine. He's fine, Lynn.
But
I'm
shocked.
Asked our new, I just got him an appointment with a primary care doctor, and his first appointment will be next month. Is there a certain test or questions that I should ask to try to get him going in the right direction?
The very first order of business is make sure his kidneys are functioning normally. The second thing would be a kidney ultrasound to see if there are in fact stones. And then the next thing is to start looking at the bladder and prostate, and then you would need a urologist to do that. That's the third thing, rather. Okay?
All right,
Lynn, you got it. Yeah, ejaculating blood's a fun, good time.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, Dr. Drew. How much blood was in your cum?
All. It's just all
blood.
It's all blood.
Wow.
I like that Rob goes, gasp, all blood.
Wow, dude.
Good for you.
Do you feel like that's an act behavior or related to act behavior in any way?
Yes.
No. I was going to say the... I don't want to go to a doctor. I don't want to.
That's the willfulness of addiction, right?
Yeah.
What they call self-will run riot.
Because I see it with a lot of addicts, yeah. Even people who are 20 years out of the gate, where it's like, no, I'm fine.
Yeah, I sort of admire that about addicts because that's that survival thing that they have, which is extraordinary.
Right.
But it's the willfulness that makes them dumb with it.
Yeah.
That's where it goes from survivor to dumb.
Yeah.
I'm a 7-year-old with chest pain. No, I'm fine.
Yeah.
Don't be dumb. But it's always the men too, right? And men are always way worse that way.
Yeah. When I was an addict, I thought I couldn't die. Where now I'm like, oh my God, life is so fragile. You know what I mean? Everything is so fragile.
Tell me if this isn't accurate. You start not caring if you die. That's the really bad part of addiction.
Right, yeah.
Or it's just more important to use than anything.
Yeah, but also it was not believable. I'd be like, come on, he died from, come on, yeah. You know? We're having a good time over here, you know?
That's youth, too.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, Kim, what's going on?
Hi, I just had a question about menopause and birth control.
Yes, ma'am.
I've been on birth control for many years, and I don't know if it has any effect on menopause. Is it going to delay it? Am I going to get it sooner or anything?
It doesn't, to my understanding, doesn't cause anything sooner. But obviously, if you're on hormones and your menopause kicks in, you're not really going to experience much because you're already on these high-powered hormones. The issue is going to be the balance of hormones is going to get kind of weird, and you might get symptoms from that. I mean, for instance, if you're on a high progesterone birth control pill, which what most of them are, and your body stops producing estrogen and testosterone, you're not going to feel normal. That makes sense?
Okay.
Yeah. But people used to worry that the menstrual periods would not reestablish themselves after people got off the pill. But they do. You know, almost always within 6 months.
Okay. I mean, I'm 43 now, and I just want to go through menopause and get it over with.
Well, why? Why do you just want to find out what's happening, or do you want to manage it properly? What do you want to do?
Well, no, I'm tired of, you know, every month I'm either, you know, in pain or
I see
nastiness all month, you know.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. You want to stop having periods, which is a different thing.
Yes.
Well,
and
God decides when that's going to happen.
I mean,
you could go on Season L or one of these pills that's continuous and not menstruate. I mean, you can do that for six months or so at a time.
Dr. Drew comes all of his blood out.
Kim, I'm sorry about my partner here. His name is Rob Eiler.
he dropped her right after.
I don't want to subject her to any more of this, Rob.
That's what he does to all the callers.
No, I usually put people back on hold pretty quickly. Oh, goodness. Here you go. Here's a Rob question. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, I'm calling. I've got an irritation in my BAC.
BAC.
Big-ass cock.
My ball-ass connector.
Ball-ass connector. Uh-huh. Is that a term that you figure everybody knew?
Well, he's auditioning to have a podcast.
That's pretty
here, like
common
me.
Down here in the South.
All right. In the South, they call them BACs. All right.
In my taint.
Your taint.
There we go.
I think people know what the taint is.
Grundle, too, right?
Grundle, chode. I've heard of the beach cities in Los Angeles, California. Your taint is burning. And is the skin on the taint burning?
Yes.
Why is that funny?
It's more so just between the brown and the back of the sack.
Brown and the back of the sack.
Irritation.
Which would be the taint, right? What did I say that was funny, gentlemen?
Or
help me with this.
You're just hilarious.
It was just so abrupt. Just the it looks like an edit.
He likes my timing, is what that was. So your taint is burning. Okay. That could be a lot of stuff, right? I mean, there can be inflammatory, you know, allergic reactions. There can be the skin sort of gets inflamed. It can easily be a fungus. It says here in your sort of pre-interview that did you use some antifungal cream on it?
Well, I've been using this Jocket spray.
Yeah.
But when I do that,
it burns more.
It's like lighting a fire down there.
Yeah. Yeah, why don't you get some Lamisil or some cream, like over-the-counter antifungal cream. Try that. Get a little Cortade also, some cortisone cream. Try that also. You can sort of alternate the two or even put them both on at the same time if you want. So Cortade and Lamisil a couple times a day. Give that a couple of days and see if that doesn't work. If it doesn't, somebody's got a dermatologist got to look at it. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
So how do you know when you have... What were we just talking about?
Taint?
No, the itch.
Jock itch?
How do you know when you have jock itch? Because, like, listen, sometimes my balls itch or my taint itch, but
it will get very red, sometimes bright red, and it will keep itching. It'll drive you crazy. And usually you'll get inside of the thighs some stuff, too.
What do you recommend for that? What's the move?
Just what I did to him. Just try some over-the-counter stuff first. There's a lot of stuff. There's all kinds of antifungal creams and sprays and things out there. Sometimes the sprays make things worse. The creams are a little milder. And then there's an inflammatory piece, and so you'd get the itching settled down quicker, some cortisone cream. But sometimes what you can get over-the-counter is not strong enough of either, frankly. And so you have to sometimes take pills for it, sometimes take a stronger cortisone, like even an ointment sometimes.
Yeah, because I have eczema, so I'll get fucking patches everywhere sometimes. You know what I mean? But like now that I'm healthy, all that shit, like...
Interesting how that works.
It's crazy how
it
goes away. Like I used to go to dinners like 10 years ago and I would have Band-Aids all over my hands because I would just from like, you know, being in New York in the cold, I would just have cuts
hands. That's all eczema. Yeah. It's actually, that's more what's called contact dermatitis. The sort of the cuts and stuff you get in through here. And that's from metal and keys and other things you're grabbing stuff, whatever.
Yeah. I would have my keys in my hand a lot to do the coke.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
There it is. Interesting, right?
Yeah.
It's the nickel and the keys.
It's a lot of, also when I started drinking water, like before the age of, I don't know, 20, I never had water ever. Mm. And then after that, it was like, I was like, oh, wow, I noticed like all these things. Like, you know, you feel better.
Speaking of noticing all these things, do you have any medical questions?
Do I have any medical questions?
Seems like you have medical anxieties a little bit.
No, it's just when I hear somebody describe, like when you watch one of those videos where it's like, oh my God, that's like, when I hear someone describe that, I feel, you know, I'm an actor, I'm an empath. I feel in my groin, but like, I don't walk around with that stuff. But if somebody tells me like, oh, my husband had a blood clot of cum come out right in my head, I'm like, oh, here we go. Like that, is that ever going to happen to me? It scares the shit out of me.
It's not that uncommon.
Wow.
It's called hematospermia. It happens spontaneously a lot of times. And 95 times out of 100, it doesn't mean anything. It's just something that happens, particularly when you get a little older.
What's the craziest thing medically that could happen to you that you're like, oh, yeah, that doesn't mean anything. Like, it's just fine, you know?
That's a pretty crazy thing.
Yeah, that's a pretty crazy one.
There's probably lots of things I could think of. Because they're not crazy to me, I don't think about them.
Where someone's like, oh my God, I'm dying. And you're like, no, it's everybody.
Yeah, there's a lot. People come up with that kind of stuff all the time.
Yeah.
Or, I can't even think of what they'd be. People get very, I was just this morning, someone was getting worked up about white spots on their tonsils. Like, yeah, they can be kind of pus in the tonsil, but it doesn't really, it's not like, don't get excited. Sometimes even it's just debris and food and stuff gets caught back there. So
you know what I had that was crazy? Like just a month ago, I learned all about this. Like your parasympathetic nerve system and your sympathetic nerve system. And I went to New York for like a month. I got really sick when I was there, but people were like, because I went to the dermatologist, for allergies.
Allergist.
I went to an allergist and it was like slammed packed, and they were like, this is the worst allergy season we've ever had, like it's horrible. So I'm like, okay, I have allergies. I've never had allergies before, so I'm like, I guess this is what allergies feel like. But I just kept going with my trip, like working out, going to the gym, even though I felt like shit. And when I came home, I realized I had these symptoms of like, okay, so I'm waking up 7 times a night to pee. I have my heart's beating, like all this stuff, and like I'm like, oh my God, something's really wrong with me. And then as I'm reading and finding stuff out, I'm like, oh my God, like I found out the parasympathetic nerve system, and that the relief when I read that, I was like, this is everything that's happening to me. So I just like, I got this thing called the brain tap. Have you seen that? It's like this meditation device that has like lights over your eyes, lights in your ears, and all this stuff to like reactivate the parasympathetic nervous system. And it took like a few weeks before I started feeling like totally like back to normal.
I still think sometimes, I don't know.
What do you think it was?
Allergies can could have all been allergies.
No. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't allergies. I thought it was allergies, and I was very sick.
But it could have been. That's what I'm saying.
Because my friend was like, oh, yeah, me and my kids, who I saw the first time I got there, he's like, we had horrible strep throat and all this stuff, and they were really sick. But I just thought, because I had never had allergies before, so I'm like, man, this is what people fucking deal with? I was like dying. But I'm like, oh, this is allergies, like I guess.
This could be a lot of things, though. But the sympathetic parasympathetic nervous systems is vitally important.
It is.
And it's literally the system that gives us the information out of our body that goes into our brains that creates feelings. Feelings ultimately come out of the body. Emotions come out of our mouth and face, right? We're putting states out. They emote. But feelings are things that come from the body. And the parasympathetic nervous system is the major inflow to the brain from the body.
I had never woken up to pee in my sleep, like ever. And all of a sudden, overnight, I'm waking up 6-7 times a night.
There are going to be a lot of things, though.
And I was like, wow. But then once I got, you know, once I followed all these steps to, you know, with the vagus nerve or whatever, and the parasympathetics, now it's like it's slowly started to go away. What else do you think it could be?
Lots of things slowly go away that are like that. Lots.
Well, let's see. I want to know.
Allergies, irritation of the urethra, prostatitis,
And then my heart was racing, like all that stuff, that's all part of...
Waking up middle of the night, heart racing. I mean, just being sick, that can happen. Any kind of infection can do that to you.
Right.
I don't know. I would need a bunch more information to sort of... We kind of go, and it can be almost anything. That's the point. And you've got to kind of go in a certain direction based on what objective findings there are.
Because it was so weird, because I've dealt with anxiety before, and this was, I had no anxiety, but my body was acting like I did. That's what it felt like, where I was like, hey, it's okay. Like, yeah. Calm down. So there's
some sort of sympathetic activation for something. And it can be activated by all kinds of things. Some of it's emotional, some of it's not. Some of it, but it's fine. It passed and good, you know. So I suspect you probably had some sort of weird strep infection, because strep can have all kinds of protein effects on brain and, you know, scarlet fever, rheumatic fever. There's all kinds of things that happen from strep infections that we forget about because people take antibiotics right away. They never get those complications.
Yeah, yeah.
Pandas, all that stuff. That's all strep.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if you had a strep infection under all that.
That's what I think it was, because that's what they had. And they were like really sick.
Yeah, yeah, it could be. All right.
They're still laughing at you.
Do we? So your taint burns.
And he's been laughing for 20 minutes about that line.
Can't stop. So do you have any medical videos for us? I'm wondering.
Yeah, one second here.
I did Where My Mom's At the other day, and Christina P. showed me one of a worm in someone's brain.
It used to be very common. Jesus. Cysticercosis, we used to see it all the time. It was the leading cause of seizure. It was so funny to us. I worked at a county hospital, and we were seeing all these immigrants up from Central America, and they get tapeworms. The eggs go up in the brain.
Jeez.
And it was exceedingly common. It was so funny for us, because we'd open the textbooks on seizure, and at the very end they go, an exceedingly rare potential for seizure is this thing called cysticercosis. You'll never see it. We saw it all the time. All the time. All the time. Yeah.
And you'd have to, the way to find that out is by opening
CTs,
somebody.
CAT scan.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You see it right away. Normal foot, drop foot.
When the foot drops?
Yeah, she has a foot drop. Yes. Poor foot can't. Yes, correct. She has a foot drop. Can be caused by all kinds of things. Okay. She has a foot drop. The flexors don't work. It can be nerve injury. It can be a lot of things. Back problems, spinal cord problems, caudal equina problems.
Tattoo infection.
Yeah. Yeah, some people get these peculiar tongues. Yeah. That can be a problem, or it can be part of her thing. Sometimes the white is yeast, right? So you worry about a yeast infection. You also worry about certain nutritional deficiencies and people with certain kinds of weird patterns on their tongue. And some people just have weird patterns on their tongue. So you're all right? You look a little gross.
Yeah, no, it's just like, it's still the morning for me. I'm like,
yeah, speaking of morning, you dropped a bomb on us when you said that so you get here by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you have to get up at 8 a.m.
Well, I got up at 9 a.m.
Why?
Just to give my, because, well, I don't drink coffee. So for me, I don't just shit on command. You know what I mean? So I'm like, oh, I want to wake up. I drink like, 90 ounces of water or whatever I do and try and get myself to poop. Because if I come here not having poop, I would just be preoccupied with it. And I like to poop before I go out for my day.
I have a poop ninja I can introduce you to that could maybe coach you up a little bit. Annie, can you help this guy?
But I...
No? No,
but he wants it, is what he's saying. He wants this life. He likes it.
He likes the dependency on his shit.
Yeah, like
I'm just fine.
I poop every day, like, within 2 hours after I wake up ish.
And couldn't you go on about your day for those 2 hours, then just make sure you have a time?
Oh yeah,
set
I can,
aside?
But as long, okay. I only shit at home. So I'll be somewhere around as long
you
as
you only shit at
home
because
home.
That's all your body will allow you to do?
I only want to shit at home. Mm. Yeah. I don't want to shit in public. I'm disgusted, absolutely disgusted by shitting in public.
How about the lovely bathrooms here? They're not bad.
No. I don't want to shit around coworkers in public.
There's even a squatty potty in there. If you've noticed
that.
Yeah,
that thing looks clean, right? Clean
Bert,
as fuck.
I'm sure Bert used. I saw one in his bedroom.
I would love for you to get like a we should always take a Q-tip
bacterial
and
swabs.
Rub it and then leave that Q-tip in the thing on this desk for a week or two and see what happens.
Yeah, we'll just do the bacterial, the plates. We'll plate it up and see what grows.
Yeah, no, so I'm good with shitting at work.
But any unit, you don't dig that either, right? You understand this, man.
Not shitting at work?
Not shitting at work,
yeah,
not shitting in public.
Yeah. Rob and I are oddly similar in a lot of ways. It's bizarre. Yeah,
like
yeah.
What else? What are you thinking?
Shit, I'm forgetting what the fuck. So he eats a ton, he intermittently fasts, and then he eats like fucking, 9 meals in one sitting. I completely understand that.
Are you doing that to yourself, or is that because you're how you're hungry?
I've always, yeah, that's just, I eat one giant meal a day, I'm satisfied, then I'm good.
Yeah,
it makes perfect sense to me. And then, what is it, you think... You're not worried, but you're saying that there can't be anything good about Bluetooth, so you don't turn it on because you're worried that it might do something.
Right. Yeah. If it's like, if there's something like Bluetooth on my phone, it's like, do you want to turn this on? And I'm not using it. I'm like, well, I would leave it off because it can't be good for my brain.
How could this magic potion, this magic beam be possibly good for my brain?
Yeah. And I'm not like, oh my God, it's cancer for sure. But I'm just like, oh, I'd rather have it off than on if I have a choice.
Are you worrying about G5 at all? Or is,
no,
5G
I had a Uber driver tell me that, that's what he did. Like he worked on those poles and then like a bunch of his friends died and then he stopped and started doing Uber. Because they would, you know, something. There's like something when you're working on that pole or something. And I was like, okay, man, I don't know shit about. But he's like, yeah, if you're working on the pole,
that makes
it's very dangerous.
Interesting.
Yeah, but he wasn't trying to say like it's dangerous for all of us. Right, he was just saying working on the pole. Like, hey, ladies.
But that was enough for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that's it. I'm done.
But no, I'm just. I don't even think about G5. But I wasn't gonna start working for Con Edison anyway. You know.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of on the pole, guys, I don't know why this thought came to me, but I made contact with Robert Paul Champagne.
Oh.
Yeah.
I thought, love this.
Yeah, I thought Rob would appreciate this.
Yes.
And he was having a tough time. He went to an emergency.
You're kidding.
I know, it's shocking. But they're fixing his kitchen and his bathroom. Maybe. It was hard to tell. I think the building came in and insisted on fixing the kitchen. He apparently kicked the workers out midway through the project.
They must have been white.
He doesn't like white guys?
He just really loves black guys.
He likes black guys.
Yeah.
And I asked him about, he has one bathroom that was bad. And I said,
come on, let's go.
Like the floors were up and everything. It just, you couldn't even walk into it. He would barely let me go near it. And it was a mess.
What was the toilet like?
Bad. Everything's bad. Like grown, just bad. And I said, dude, Robert, what about that bathroom where they get in there? Mm-mm, he's not letting them in there either. I said, come on, let's work on that. Why not?
they don't need to go in there.
That's exactly where he said. Yeah. Precisely.
Yeah.
Precisely. And, but I was a little worried about what sent him to the ER, but he was couldn't give me all the details I needed to be sure. I asked him to do some things to reduce the risks. You know,
you're a saint.
And he's had his some money stolen. Like somebody stole his Social Security check. And he did tell me why he gets Social Security. There were some disabling conditions he had, physically and psychiatrically early on that put him on disability or in Social Security.
And he says they're capped.
Their cap.
I said who's cap?
Oh, any of Robert Paul Champagne's disabilities that he's getting paid for, they're all cap.
I don't say that. What are you talking about? I love Robert Paul Champagne.
Oh, so do I. But I thought you would be somebody who say disabilities cap.
Bro, disability is not funny to joke about. What are
Dude,
you
I thought you
about?
Thought everything could be overcome with
what
your brain,
you
with your mind.
What is wrong with
okay,
you
Okay, good.
Guys.
I'm good to know
Jesus.
You have limits. Okay. No, no, I know.
He's going to be filing for disability from YMH soon. Something's up. Something's coming around the corner.
So, but he was in remarkably good, he wasn't in good spirits, but I was able to kind of get him in good spirits.
What?
He was
Wait, hold on. You just said he was in remarkably
well, you know,
good,
he,
well, he wasn't really in good spirits.
He was remarkably okay, given all the shit that was going on. Let's put it that way.
Right.
He was definitely Robert. He was himself.
Yeah.
You know, he was problem solving. You know what I mean? He was going to go to Social Security. He was going to get the check reissued. He was going to go to the housing authority and ask them to delay the, you know, kicking him out before he could come up with the runt from the Social Security. So he was making, and he had a plan to how he's going to get there, and everything was appropriate. It was very good planning, and I felt kind of good about it. He said that he wanted to apologize to your mom's house and particularly to Tom and Christina for having been, I don't know what word he used, nasty, I think was the word he used.
Nasty.
Yeah, exactly. So I was mean and nasty.
Yep, mean.
And he kind of blamed his medication, sort of. He said, when I take these medications, I get really mean.
He left horrible, he was like one of the only horrible comments on Not Today Pal's social media feed.
What'd he say?
He's just like, these motherfuckers, like he was just angry. And I love Robert Paul. But well, he was just motherfucking.
Talk about it on your show a little bit and see if he sees it there. Because he I don't think he trusts that we all really have affection for him. And really, from the first time I was exposed to his videos, I was just sort of worried about him. Because it was just sort of like, dude, are you okay?
See, he lives like 20 blocks from where I grew up. I knew a lot of people like that.
I think you said that last time, and I can't get that through my head. What do you mean by that?
Just very eccentric. Like, you know, when you grow up in New York City, you just see, like, everybody, like, I love Joey Diaz. But when everybody sees Joey Diaz, they're like, oh, I love this guy because I've never seen anyone like him. Or for me, I love him because he reminds me of home. Like, wow. I'm like, oh, yeah, I knew a guy like this. Like, I've, when you grow up in New York City, you know a guy like everyone.
Yes.
You know, but there were a lot of Robert Paul Champagnes where they're just like, crazy, like, you know, all of a sudden you see them in your hallway in a costume and you're like, okay, I guess it's costume day. Like,
oh, that's, and where, what kind of building did you grow up in?
I grew up in income housing,
so that's where you really see this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's what he's in,
right.
Yeah,
but he's a little more uptown than me, and the more you go up, people say, the worse it gets. You know,
these were okay buildings. They were, I mean, the
buildings are usually nice in New York City.
Yeah, like, not nice. I mean, because I,
no, but they're,
what I didn't like about them more than anything else was exactly what happened, which was the public health aspects of it. The elevators are as big as this screen.
Yeah.
And the hallways are as wide as this screen.
Yeah.
You know, and with no ventilation, no nothing. And I thought, oh, if there's an outbreak of something, these people are in trouble.
And just, see, I never thought about it as a kid, but I grew up on the 34th floor in just like a box.
Oh, one of those big ones.
That's what they do.
Is that like? I always wonder what it's like to live in those, because you must interact with everyone that lives in the building, right?
Constantly. There was a guy who used to shit in the laundry. Yeah. So you'd go put your laundry in and be like, man, I hope Vinny doesn't shit in the fucking laundry. You know, like, there were people
who
ran.
And who was Vinny?
Vinny was just a mentally ill guy who lived there. Income housing is like, from what I understand, it's like one step up from the projects, you know, like where it's like it's based on your income. So some people choose to live there even though they don't need to live there.
It's like affordable for everybody. But within there, they also put people on disability.
And what happened was there were three buildings in our buildings, and our building was the one where everyone who had the disability, and then the other two they made nicer, they wanted people to like whatever. So, yeah, they were fucking lunatics in my building. Like, I remember there were people who had sex in the hallway. Like, they brought out their mattress into the hallway, set it up, and were having sex, and security had to come and like remove them.
Was there any kind of custodial supervision on some of the people with the,
Yeah. There was all, and then the building had like, you know, those little like one person cop cars where like if you tipped it over, they couldn't get out.
Yes.
Like, so they had that in my, around the three buildings.
Yes,
so
of course.
Security and the guy at the front. Like, yeah, there was full on.
Well, it's unfortunate we've sort of abandoned in California, we've abandoned that kind of housing or that kind of custodial supervision for anybody. So they just go on the streets. That's where those people would have ended up, right?
Now that's where they do end up, because even that building that I grew up in that was that way slowly weeded those people out and started charging. Now there's like fucking doctors and nurses who live in that building.
Interesting.
It's crazy.
Where is it? Which one is it?
92nd and 2nd. That's where I grew up.
Oh, that's a nice area now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Stanley Isaac Projects is one block away. Like
they have mixed it up. I mean, we lived on 95th Broadway for a little while, and there was kind of projecty stuff right next door, and good. I thought that was good. Everybody living together.
But it's just not like when I was dating girls, they would always be like, yeah, when I go to your place, like, you have to walk me out to get a cab.
Oh, well, that's a different issue.
You know what I mean? Well, but like, you know, we're like downtown, they didn't think about stuff like that.
Right.
Where they were like,
back
yeah, where
then,
you
now,
live is.
Now everybody. It's back again. It's on. A friend of mine got held at the gunpoint, and they took his phone, made him activate it, took all his passwords and everything that was on his phone, and went out and started unloading stuff.
Where was he when it happened?
He was in West Village. Can you imagine?
Holy shit.
Yeah. So that's apparently a thing now, that they're learning that they can get access to everything through your phone.
So this all happened on the street?
On the sidewalk. It came up on a motorbike. Two guys, gun.
Jesus Christ.
It took 5 minutes because he's... has him to face activation, go to your passwords. And then they made him change his Apple password so he couldn't deactivate the phone when they went away. Think about that.
Wow.
Think about that. Don't.
What did they steal the passwords to? Like, what did they want?
Everything on the phone. Credit cards, bank accounts, everything. Amazon.
Wow.
Right? You could in a very short period of time, you could do some serious damage.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, so good times, everybody.
Yeah, shout out to him.
Yeah, I've been very upset about that, as a matter of fact.
That's fucking, was this midday?
No, I don't know what time it was. He was walking home from work, 6 blocks from work to home. Wow. West Village. Yeah, I know. Crazy. I wonder, I got to find out if it was like 2 a.m. If it was like 2 a.m, it's like,
he deserved it.
These days in New York, it's like, yeah, deserved it. Is there, let's do one voicemail to kind of clear our palate, to kind of get our moods back up, to wrap this thing up. Possible Zen pouch test. You guys are too much.
Are you going to do one?
I'm saving that. I'm saving it. We'll see when I feel, when the spirit moves me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm Jay, and I have like probably the worst case of opiate-induced constipation ever.
Yeah.
It's such a weird thing that I'm afraid to go to the doctor about it. Mm. I don't go for like sometimes like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And it's because I've used opiates or Suboxone or Subutex for long periods of times, and it's like horrific, and I just don't know what to do. You have any tips?
So the fact that you're obviously you're still on stuff, right? Now you can hear that.
Yeah.
Suboxone, in my experience, is not so likely to do that. So I'm guessing you're taking opiates on top of the Suboxone. I'm guessing, and people do that.
Which is pointless, right?
No, because it turns out that the Suboxone only activates about 10% of the mu receptors, which is why when you go to surgery and you need post-op pain control, you can use pain medication because the mu receptors are still open and some people will still do their thing. You're not as driven to do it because a lot of it is decreased by the Suboxone, that sort of need stuff. But people still do drugs on Suboxone. That's the problem with Suboxone.
Yeah.
But this is the problem with oral opiates. They cause constipation. The constipation can be severe. You said it's the worst case ever. No, the worst case ever I've seen a couple of these. They have to take out their colon because it gets so bad. They get something called toxic megacolon and they get peritonitis and the colon's got to come out, got to be surgically removed. The fact that you're getting a movement every 3 weeks, you're just like any. How about that? It depends how much you're bringing out at the time. But why are you not trying? It's not always workable, but using various kinds of laxatives and things to try to get something to go. Magnesium citrate, you know, milk of magnesia, Ducalax. These things sometimes can get things going, but opiates can be so severe, even those don't work.
They make the Swiss Chris. Have you ever seen a
Swiss
Chris?
Swiss Chris is a tea. It's a herb.
They make pills now.
Yeah, it's good. It's mild. Turns out it's pretty mild.
It works better than magnesium.
Magnesium citrate. It's a bottle of stuff. It's TNT.
Oh,
it,
wow. I think the pill's magnesium citrate. It doesn't do what?
That's probably magnesium. That's not me. That's probably milk of magnesia.
Pure encapsulation is magnesium citrate, I think.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's the concentration or the way it's delivered, but you have to drink a bottle of magnesium citrate.
Right.
I've never recommended the tablets before. I wasn't aware of the tablets. I have to look at that. But, you know, it's a very serious problem, and you've got to deal with your opiate addiction. I mean, that's the life-threatening problem you have, not the constipation, but the opiate addiction. Somehow it will get you. And see if you can get your Suboxone adjusted to where it's not causing this problem and you're not using drugs on top of it. And let's get it going, dude.
If you want to have more fun than that, there's a cereal called Kashi Goline. It's good. Kashi Goline Crunch. You can eat a whole box of it with some milk, whatever, and then you'll be...
Colon blow?
Yeah, you go pretty good.
All right.
Yeah.
Try that. Opiates, though. Did you have constipation when you're on opiates?
Yeah. You know what's funny? I did, but also part of me, it just became how you shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
I wasn't aware of anything that I did. Any symptoms I had, I would never let myself believe it was from the things I was doing.
Of course.
You know what I mean? I'd always be like, nah. Like, yeah. I'm tired because of this. I'm you know, this because of that. Like, you know, so I was, where now it's like everything. I'm like, oh my God, I had, you know. I only slept seven hours last night.
I appreciate that before the mics heated up, we were talking about your shitting, and now that we've finished, you're talking about your shitting again. So it brings
full circle.
Full circle, exactly. Mm-hmm. Again, it is Not Today, Pal. NTP, I suggest you watch it. Rob Lyer, Jamie Lynn Sigler.
What
did I say?
You said liar.
What? Eiler? Jesus.
Liar. Jesus.
Wow, weird.
You know what happens
is...
You're subconscious.
No, I don't listen to what comes out of my mouth sometimes. And
yeah, yeah.
Look what's on the board there. It kind of looks like liar. And I think that my brain did that and said that. So there we go.
Yeah. You're like Anchorman. You just whatever they put up there.
Yes, I have a whiff of that. Trust me. I've been reading prompters for many years. But I appreciate you being here, my friend, and taking the time this morning to take your time having a shit so you can get here on time.
Absolutely. Anytime for you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And it's hopefully we'll see you back soon. And congratulations to the show. Have fun with it. And
thank you.
I'm just grateful and glad that you guys are here at your mom's house. This is a big deal.
So. Grateful too. Yeah, thank you. I'm happy Dr. Drew's one of my coworkers.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, it's great.
Everybody, we'll see you next time.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation of the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.